Thank you, Jeannie. Truly how great the Lord is. Amen. Thank you once again for being in the service today. We are glad that you are here with us. We are embarked upon a series of lessons, of messages over the past, this is the sixth Sunday, on that we have been dealing with the idea in the Scripture, all these things. This will be installment number six, and if you would like to know what that's about, we have the CDs available. You can order those. And in part one, we looked from the perspective of the pessimist and the optimist. You remember the pessimist, Jacob? Why are all these things come upon me? You know him very well. Nothing's good in life. Life is not worth living. Woe is me. Why does all this happen to me? If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. You know him well. And so installment number one, we talked about him, but we also talked about the optimist. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can endure all things. I can do all things through Christ. You see, my friend, it all depends on our attitude, how we perceive things, how we receive them, and how we assimilate them. And if we'll assimilate them properly, we'll have the right perspective. Then in part number two, we looked at all these things from the perspective of the historian, the great historian, the Apostle Paul, who reminded the children of Israel of their history, of all the things that had come along in the past. And so it is important that we look at history so that we don't repeat the same mistakes that were made in the past, and so that we do the correct things, the things that societies did in the past that helped them to be successful. Because if we'll repeat that pattern, we will have great success. And then in installment number three, we looked at the idea of the master builder, or the master teacher, rather. The master teacher, and who is he? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you remember, after speaking in parables to the folks, his disciples ask him why he spoke in parables. And so then he gave the interpretation of the parables. And after he did that, he asked them a question. He said, "Do you understand all these things?" And so it's important that we understand from the perspective of the master teacher, because when we follow the teachings of Jesus, we will not go wrong. Part four, we looked at a mother's perspective, Mary, the mother of Jesus. We divided that into two aspects. We did part four and part 4.5. You know, sometimes in preaching the Word of God, you just have to get creative. And so we looked at both aspects of that, of Mary, who had so much to ponder. You know, she had so many things to consider, all the prophecies that were revealed to her about that baby that was born of her, that special child, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Last week in part number five, we looked at the perspective of the great commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, the one who helps us to be more than conquerors, who helps us to overcome all those obstacles, all those dilemmas in our life, if we'll look to him in faith, if we'll do what he tells us to do, we can be successful. We can accomplish great things through this one who is our great commander in chief. So this morning, I would like for us to look at all these things from a different perspective. Let's switch gears this morning, and let's make it maybe make it a little real today. And let's look at what is going on, all these things, from the perspective of the ladies' Bible study of the First Baptist Church of the City of Jerusalem. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God this morning, if you would please? Turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 24, this morning, and follow along with me as we read from the Word of God. If you need a copy of the Scripture, there's one in the seat in front of you. You're welcome to use that while you're here. We just ask that you would return it so the next person can use it. And so notice what Luke records for us in the 24th chapter. Now, upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and they told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. Go ahead and be seated, and we'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your blessings, your kindness, your goodness to us in our lives. We're grateful for today. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit today, and I ask, Lord, that you would help him to help me to say the things that need to be said today, and Lord, maybe to just disregard the things that don't need to be said. But Lord, that you would speak to hearts today, that you would speak to the lost. Dear God, that the lost would be saved today and hearts would be made right. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. And once again, thank you for being in the service today. The crucifixion, the most horrific event in all of history. Nothing was any more deplorable than the crucifixion of our Lord. Nothing was any more agonizing or more painful to watch. Think of the apostles. Think of the followers of Jesus as they looked at that horrific scene together. And part of the group that viewed that was this group that I'm talking to you about this morning, the Ladies' Study Bible Group of the First Baptist Church of the City of Jerusalem. Yes, I believe the first church was a Baptist church. It didn't take us three centuries to come up with an idea. We already had it. Jesus established the church when he was upon this earth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Well, let's see them. Let's look at the previous chapter, chapter number 23 and verse number 48. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women, there they are, that followed him from Galilee, they stood afar off, beholding these things. What things? The crucifixion, the scourging of the Lord Jesus. These women were very close to the Lord. They loved him. They served him. They followed him. They ministered unto him. And they are watching these horrible events. Luke records that they stand afar off. You say, why did they do that? I think for obvious reasons, they didn't want to be next. They didn't want to be on a cross next to Jesus. So they are standing afar off and they are beholding these things. Look down to verse number 55. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and they beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. So they are loyal. They not only witness the scourging of Jesus, they not only witness the mock trials and all that he endured, they not only witness the crucifixion on the cross, those horrible hours when he hung on the cross for your sin and for mine, so that we might have eternal life. You see, Jesus died for a reason. And that reason is you. And that reason is me today. Because it's the only way that you and I can have eternal life. We can't have it through church membership. We can't have it by baptism. We can't have it by living a good life. The only way we can have it is by accepting that free gift of salvation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, and that is an act of faith. That is an act of faith. So it is the only way to be born again in the Spirit of God. It is the only way that you and I can have eternal life. But it's all seems to be for naught. Jesus has been scourged. He's been falsely accused. He's been hung on a cross to die. They were there. They witnessed as the soldiers came by to break the legs of Jesus like they did the other two thieves that were hanging on the cross, so that it might expedite his death, so that they would not be in violation of the holy days that the Jews were embarking upon. They come to Jesus, and they're going to break his legs, and they notice he is already dead. So the soldier decides to take a spear and to thrust it into Jesus' side. These women are there, and they see the blood and the water flow out. There is absolutely no doubt Jesus is dead. So here they are, they're at the sepulcher. Joseph of Arimathea has begged the body of Jesus along with Nicodemus. And they have taken the body and they have prepared it for burial. And they have placed it in the sepulcher. And then they've seen the great stone rolled to cover the entrance of the tomb. The women are there. They are beholding these things. They watch as the Roman soldiers set a seal upon the tomb. No one, no human being is going to defy the act of Caesar and to break that seal. And so they see these things happen. They are mourning. They are weeping. And verse 56 says, they returned and they prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Their intent is, after this period of 3 days of mourning, 3 days of holy days, that they're going to come back to the tomb and they're going to hopefully be able to anoint the body of Jesus. And so here they come. It's the first day of the week. It is now Sunday morning. Now upon the first day of the week, early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Certain others with them. Now, the different gospels reveal who these women are. In fact, verse number 10 of Luke gives us some idea. It says it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James. And by the way, who is this Mary also the mother of? Jesus. James is the half-brother of Jesus. So Mary is there. Mary Magdalene and Joanna and others. In fact, it says that, and other women there were with them which told these things unto the apostles. So here they come, this small group of the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. They are here. They are faithful. They're where they should be. They want to minister to Jesus. Ladies, do you want to minister to Jesus? Men, do you want to minister to Jesus? Be in your place. Be in your place, doing God's will. Be in your place. So here they are. They found the stone and it was rolled away from the sepulcher. And they enter in and they found not the body of Jesus. And they're confused. What in the world is going on? What in the world has happened? Jesus is not there. What has happened to his body? They knew that's where he was laid. They were at the very spot. They were there 3 days before. What in the world happened? And the guards that were placed at the tomb, they are trembling in fear. Because an angel has come, has appeared, and has rolled away the stone from the tomb. Not to let Jesus out, but to reveal that Jesus is already gone. Amen. Jesus is risen from the dead. And these women, I'm going to get myself in trouble. I like to do that every once in a while. Hush. It used to be said before the days of the internet. Young people say, what? The internet hasn't always existed? Sorry to inform you, it has not always existed. There was a day when it did not exist, believe it or not. Back in the day, when the fastest forms of communication were telegraph, telephone, television, and telewoman. Isn't it interesting? You know, when Jesus was born, there were shepherds who showed up. And they got to tell the good news. But now, the spotlight is on the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. And they are told to go and to tell the story that Jesus is risen from the dead. Oh, what a glorious opportunity. And the angel asks a very important question. Why seek ye the living amongst the dead? Jesus isn't dead. He is alive. He is alive today. We serve a risen Savior. And it is the ladies of the Ladies Study Bible Group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem who gets to tell the word. They get to spread the word. I mean, they are going to tell everybody that Jesus is risen from the dead. You see, we serve a risen Savior today. He is not dead. I feel sorry for the people, the folks of Islam. They have a dead Savior. Muhammad is dead today. He does not live. Buddha is dead today. He does not live. All these other false prophets are dead today. And the false prophets that are alive today, one day they will be dead. There is no hope other than in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the only way that we can be saved. He is the only one who rose from the dead. And the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem gets to tell the story. They are the first, very first ones. And they are excited about telling these great and wonderful things. All these things. How they went to the tomb. They were wondering as they went, one of the accounts tells us, who is going to remove the stone so that we can anoint the body of Jesus? Who's going to be dumb enough to remove that stone? It's sealed. It's guarded by four Roman guards. Who's going to take on that task? God. This is truly a God thing. God did this. God rose His Son from the grave. Jesus has triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. We have good news this morning. We have a risen Savior. Aren't you glad? And the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of the city of Jerusalem is the first ones to get to spread the good news. Let me ask you a question, ladies of the Berean Baptist Church of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Are you spreading the good news today that you have a risen Savior? You big hunks like Howard over here. What a handsome guy. Whoa. You all dressed up like you're ready for a wedding or something. Man. Man. Are you telling folks about Jesus? Are you telling folks that Jesus is risen from the dead? Are you telling Jesus that folks that Jesus is alive and He lives in your heart? Oh, what great things we have to share with a lost and dying world this morning. Glory to God. Jesus is risen. We have a story like none other. The Buddhists can't tell a story like that. Islam cannot tell a story like that. They're followers don't have that great privilege. But you and I do, because we have a risen Savior. He is alive forevermore. Thank God He came back. He rose from the dead. He walked this earth for 40 days and 40 nights before He ascended to heaven. And He made appearances with the disciples, with the apostles, with believers. He was seen of over 500 at one time. Presented Himself. And that on that day that He ascended to the Father, the 11 are there. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Not only do we serve a Savior who rose from the dead, we serve a Savior who's one day coming back to get His children. Wow. All these things. We have such a story to tell. We have such a story to tell. And the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem were the first to get to share the story. And I want you to see the reaction of these big apostles. Notice, if you would please, verse number 11. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. How sad. How tragic. This wonderful news. Remember when the angel spoke to the women of the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem? And he reminded them of the things that Jesus said, that these things must be. All of a sudden, the light comes on. Oh, that's what he meant. How many times did he have to say it? He told them, I'm not here to set up my kingdom right now. I'm going to the Father. What part of that did they not get? You see, sometimes we are so focused on what we want that we will not hear what it is that God is trying to communicate to us. So the angel reminds them, Jesus told you about these things. Whoa! He did! The ladies of the Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem got it! They finally got it! They begin to put the pieces of the puzzle together. I want you to see a special blessing here. Your moms will be able to identify with this. There wasn't another lady that was there that morning who was any more elated than Mary, the mother of James. Jesus is alive. Ah. My son lives. Any of you who have ever lost a child can identify with us. Because of what happened on Calvary, parent, if that child placed their trust in Jesus Christ, they are alive today. Jesus is alive. Amen. And he said, because he lives, we would live also. Oh, what wonderful things the ladies' Bible study group of the First Baptist Church of the city of Jerusalem had to share. And nobody's any more thrilled than Mary, the mother of James. Father, help us today. We have such a story to tell. Help us to have the boldness that these women had to tell the story. Jesus is alive. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Oh Lord, help us. We've got such a story to tell. Lord, I believe there's individuals in this room who don't know you as their Lord and Savior. They're trusting in religion. They're trusting in possibly baptism or maybe even the Lord's Supper, all good things that come after salvation, not before, not in order to attain salvation. Father, today, speak to the hearts of men and women that are lost. Save the lost. Lord, there might be wayward Christians here this morning who have put their belief in you on the back burner. They're not living for you. They're not serving you. They're just getting by. Spirit of the living God, speak to hearts today. Save the lost in Jesus' name, and help those that do know you to tell the story. We ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Stand with me.